going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
But great to have you with us. Hardest song to talk over. Hard. So let me say this on the Shedeur Sanders front. There is an irony that is so thick, it is beyond unbelievable. He really did end up at a team that might be the most perfect team for him to have a shot to play at. And I don't mean like year one per se, although he does. I mean for the next 5 to 10 years. Like, they don't really have anyone that is perceived to be their guy for 5 years from now. So if he goes in there and plays great, seizes the day, he can be the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns for 10 years. Now, they still might be a garbage franchise because they've been a garbage franchise. But, like, it's a lot better for him than some of the other spots. I mean, he could have been Jalen Hurts. He could have been the third-string quarterback of the Eagles.
Yeah.
Where he'd be blocked.
And that would have been a mess.
But they did take... It did take Dylan Gabriel,
but that guy's
round.
Not the first
got a lot of
overall pick
there.
In the draft. Like
Kenny Pickett's there.
Yeah, I mean Kenny Pickett's
Joe
beat
Flacco.
Out, yeah, he's old.
They brought him in. No, that Joe Flacco is definitely tied us over. You know, he will be a functional quarterback for the short term.
Is it going to come down
Kenny
to Shedeur
Pickett,
and Joe
that?
Flacco? Is that going to be the quarterback competition in Cleveland?
And Watson.
Well. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm just saying it's actually
Gabriel.
A pretty good spot for him.
It is. I don't understand
irony.
Why Pittsburgh didn't. Like, I do understand, but I also don't because the Steelers still don't have a quarterback.
But you cannot tell Mike Tomlin.
No.
I,
and that's the thing.
I'm going to change your culture. Like,
yeah.
you're Mike Tomlin, your culture needs to change. No, it doesn't.
But Mike Tomlin, you also need a quarterback. You can't
no, that's
run out
right.
there with Mason Rudolph.
I agree with that.
So I don't know what their plan is, but.
Yeah. All right, 215-592-9494. It really was, of all the draft stuff ever, it was one of the more wild developments we've ever seen. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Bam right now in Upper Darby. Good morning, Bam.
Good morning, morning crew. How you doing?
Great, Bam.
I want to say Hakuna Matata is the best pick I think is out of there.
Hakuna Matata.
I can't say his last name, that's wild.
Oh, I know what you're saying. The safety. That took me a second. I was trying to figure out. Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, you're saying Andrew Makuba.
Makuba, yeah.
Yes. I think he's a good player. I didn't really get to see him play much, but I believe he can be a day one starter. How about you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
We have the need.
Yep.
That's for sure. I don't like the idea of drafting a guy to come in and play right away, but it seems like you're going to see a nice competition with Sidney Brown there and Lewis Cine. Don't forget Lewis Cine. Lewis Cine, another good player. Safety.
You love him.
I actually think he's probably going to be starting early.
Devin, I think he's just screwing with us.
Why?
It's just John's little inside joke. He likes to do this Lewis Cine thing, and then, you know. You fall for it every time.
Show.
Devin, you fall for it every time.
I'm telling you, Lewis Cine's just.
This is John's way of trolling. That's all it is.
Is it trolling?
Yeah.
Or are you serious? I can't
serious.
Tell.
Lewis Cine is a viable option at safety. if this kid isn't, you know, if Mukuba doesn't come along.
Uh-huh. What about that Lewis Johnny Seen Wilson guy safety. You loved last year? And he would drop every other pass thrown his way. He would clang off his hands. Remember that guy?
He is A.J. Brown's backup.
Yeah, and he stinks.
Well, he's
See,
on the team.
I can't give John crap for like hyperfixating on these random players because I gave him some pushback for saying Bryson Stott should be leading off like every time we had someone call in
and
about the
Bryson
Phillies.
Stott.
And now Bryson Stott is leading off and he's doing well. So
he's doing all right.
Sometimes it works out.
But he got there in an unconventional way. He got there because Boehm stunk.
Yeah.
And they wanted to get Schwarber in the middle.
And Johnny Wilson is going to get on the field in unconventional ways too. He's 6'6", 250 pounds playing
he's
wide
really
receiver.
Large.
Hey, Bam.
He's going to be out there blocking people.
Sure. Bam, give me an answer for something unbelievable. What do you got?
All right. I was telling Fran Baker, I was going to say Allen Iverson, the practice thing.
Oh, yeah. That's a great answer. The practice press conference. You know, it was during the pandemic that we replayed the practice press conference, John, because if you remember, it was at that point the 18 year anniversary, I guess it was. And I remember we had a whole show because we had no sports to talk about. And it was the 18th anniversary of Iverson's press conference, and we talked about it, and then we played the whole thing. It was wild. And John, this is one of my real regrets in my professional existence. I could have gone to that, and it would have been the first press conference I ever attended, but I chickened out. Because I was young in the industry, I had gotten to the point where, you know, Sixers said, okay, you're credible enough to come. I didn't feel worthy of being there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Could have witnessed history.
I could have.
Chickened out.
I chickened out. I mean, I'm just being honest. I chickened out.
Does it make you feel more unworthy when you think about it in this context?
No, it made me hungry to make sure to not chicken out the next time.
Unworthy at the time.
I did.
Really?
Yeah,
you did. You did yourself a disservice.
I know I did.
That's such a shame.
It is a shame.
What if it was like the butterfly effect? If you had gone, maybe it wouldn't have gone down that way.
Can you imagine?
I would have said something. I would have gone on a totally different.
Wouldn't have even talked about practice.
Can you imagine that? That would have been. But the fact that that was almost my first press conference was wild. All right, let's listen to a little bit more of the audio of some of these guys getting drafted by the Eagles. Let's get to Drew Kendall. So he is the Boston College offensive lineman. Eagles got him in the fifth round. Here's his interaction with the brass.
Drew. How's it going?
It's Howie Roseman from the Eagles. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're going to pick you right here, brother.
You are?
Yeah, we are. Congratulations.
So, thank you so much. I appreciate
we're excited.
That.
Yeah, we can't wait to get you to Philadelphia. You're a heck of a player, and you're going to fit everything we do. So, congratulations. I know you've been waiting a little bit, but hopefully it's worthwhile. I'm going to put on Coach Sirianni and then Coach Stoutland.
Hey, Drew. How you doing? Coach Sirianni.
Hey, Coach.
Hey,
doing
congratulations.
Great. How are you?
Congratulations. You're an Eagle.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I can't wait.
Yeah, we like the way you play, man. Can't wait
Thank
to work
you.
With you.
Hey, buddy, congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank
you. All that hard work you did and all that time you put in, it's going to all pay off now.
So yeah, thank you.
Now it's time to go to work, okay?
Yep. Yes, sir.
I love Stoutland, man. Now it's time. He buddies him. Hey, buddy. But he slides in there. Now it's time to go to work.
It'll all pay off now. Now you get to go to work. Now the joy of work comes. And no, really. Like, this is the way you teach it. It really does. It matters that they, right from the get-go, hey, this is our culture. This is our culture of work. We work to enjoy winning. We work to dominate. We work to put ourselves in a position to every single day. We get better 1%. That means we are better than everyone else out there. And we're going to stay 1% every day getting better so we stay ahead of everyone who's behind us.
Hypothetical situation. Jeff Stoutland's coaching Ben Simmons, rookie year.
Huh.
What happens? Ben's still a bomb, right? Nah, he doesn't shoot.
He shoots threes?
Nah, he's gutless. Devin, he would not shot even.
Well,
if
it's not even an option.
Bobby Knight could have been his coach. He wouldn't have shot.
I don't know who his coach is now with the Clippers, but he's doing a little better.
Ty Lue, I think. I think Ty Lue's out there.
He's doing a little better out there, so.
All right, let's listen to Kyle McCord. So, St. Joe's Prep, my high school, Kyle McCord, quarterback, had played at Ohio State and then transferred to Syracuse. Here's the moment he gets the call from the Eagles.
Kyle, it's Howie Rosen from the Eagles.
How are you doing?
You know, I think we have an obligation each year to take a St. Joe's Prep kid. So, unfortunately, you're going to be the selection this year. How do you feel about that?
I'm fired up, man. I'm excited.
Yeah. We're going to pick you right here, man. I know you've been sitting for a long time. We're fired up to have you. I'm going to put Coach Sirianni on the phone. We're going to put the pick through right now. Congratulations. Can't wait to see you.
Thank you.
Hey, Kyle. How you doing? Coach Sirianni.
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, I'm doing well. I've been following your career for a while and being a local guy, so excited to get you.
Yes, sir. I can't wait. It's going to be a good deal. I'm excited, man.
All right, so that audio is good, but I want to play audio that's even better. This is when Kyle McCord tells his family, because obviously he grows up here, grows up an Eagles fan, the family's Eagles fans, the whole deal. Listen to the celebration when he tells his right when he gets off the phone. So the family's videotaping him talking to the Eagles. We just played you audio of the Eagles release of the phone call, but let's now get audio from the video of the family recording him, and here's that moment when he informs his family.
You know a team or no?
No.
The Eagles.
Isn't that cool? Hometown guy. That's good stuff. Really, really, really good stuff. All right, let's get back to the phones. Let's go to John and Maniunk right now. Johnny.
Joe, love the show as always, man.
Thanks, pal.
Quit Phil's thing, you know, just when we beat the Dodgers, knocked them off, everyone thought we were great, and then we lost a couple, and everyone thought we stunk again, and then we swept the Marlins, and we were great. So I'm not going to do this to myself. I've seen some Super Bowls now, some championships. I feel a little satiated. I'm not going to live and die with them, but they looked pretty good this year, you know, this week. I still think you need to get someone in the bullpen. You got to get a new closer or something like that, trade for someone nice. But, you know, the Braves, Strider got hurt again. They don't look that great. You know, the Dodgers have a lot of injuries and stuff. It's a long season, so we got to see. But real quick, I'm going to just shift to the draft stuff. I think I couldn't agree with you more, dude. I thought Kuiper, I thought people like Eisen. I thought a lot of these guys, like, really embarrassed themselves here a little bit. Like, the draft, there were people that got drafted that I didn't even hear their name, and they didn't talk about them at all because they kept talking about Shedeur Sanders and how he wasn't drafted yet, like, for days.
Yeah,
and, like,
that doesn't bother me too much because they're going to – once you get to the second and definitely the third round, you're going to start doing a lot of that stuff.
I feel like they talk about Sanders more than the number one overall pick. Like, they did. Well, they remember the number one overall pick. I don't know anything about him. Like, it's just, I couldn't believe that. But as far as the Eagles draft picks and some of those recordings you're showing, like what ESP was saying, the interesting part about drafting 10 players, I think because for once, and we're not used to this, Joe, the team is actually like the place to be and the team that everybody wants to play for. So I think they're bringing in a lot of talent just to be like, hey, we're going to fight and see who wants to be on this team. And I think at the end of the day, the iron sharpens iron. Our team's just going to be better off because of it. You know, like, it's not something where we need all these players we can get. No, we're going to throw a bunch of stuff at the wall, and we're going to see who sticks and makes the team. I, like, love what's happening a little bit, to be honest.
Well, I think that is part of the theory, but I'll just say this. If I said to you on Thursday that between Friday and Saturday combined, you can have, let me add this up here, 7 picks between the 5th and 6th round, or let's just say 4 picks that are in, like, the 4th round, you would have taken the 4 4th-round picks, right?
Yeah, I do think...
And I don't know that the value is equal, but, I mean, it's probably thereabout. I mean, I just didn't expect a team with this many good players to take that many guys when they just can't all make the team. I mean, they'll try to stash some guys. You'll get practice squad guys. I get all that. But it just struck me as an unconventional strategy.
You do remember there was a report, you know, anonymous, you know, so who knows, but that there were teams that were not even going to entertain any type of call from Howie. So at the end of the day, this is where when you get the high score, you know, for 5 years in a row, nobody wants to play with you anymore because it's not fun. So there's something to be said about that, too, where maybe we're just like no one wanted to answer.
All right,
the call.
John, I need you to answer a question for me. So I know you're not exactly old guy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
So do you have kids?
I do. I have a young daughter.
All right. So, but you don't have a teenager yet or a young adult.
No.
Right. All right. I didn't think you would.
Not yet.
What would you, because John, you're a very sensible guy. We love you as a caller. What would you do if you were the Falcons defensive coordinator and this was your son?
Honestly, I see it as bullying a little bit. So what I would make bullying is you got to make your son go over there and talk to him and apologize to his face. You got to make him go over there and embarrass him, make him walk there maybe or something like that. Go there in front of his whole crew and his entourage and his dad and apologize and say, I was just trying to be stupid.
No question.
You need to feel shame. That's the only way.
I think that's really interesting, John, that you put it in those terms, because I agree with you. It is. And that's the part I think that I wasn't identifying properly. Like, that's the part that's so problematic, that it is like bullying, that it's heaping on to someone who really is in, you know, a spiral that not necessarily even his fault, but it's the worst possible scenario that Shedeur Sanders could have ever anticipated. And now you're just jumping on. It's too easy. Graceless. Yep. What you
also,
just did, like, kid.
Great advice I had growing up was be good or don't get caught. So it's one thing to make the prank call if they got caught and they got busted big time, and now you got to man up and show your face.
All right, John, give me something unbelievable. You can win the Elvis Costello tickets.
Listen, when I was a young boy, I remember being on a Vermont trip after New Year's Eve to ski, and Nancy Kerrigan got beat with a bat. And it was just the craziest sports thing I've ever seen. I remember the coverage on it where between Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan, it was just such an unbelievable story. That I
no
made
question.
A movie on it, and it's still hard to believe. But
no, I'm with you. Right. Great call, John.
Great answer.
It is. And the fact that they had to be teammates on the same U.S. team was beyond unbelievable. All right, Devin, if you were, so you don't have any kids.
No. I do have a dog who I consider my child.
There
but
you
no,
go.
I don't have any kids.
All right, if this was your, you know, semi-adult kid, meaning a 21-year-old, it's not like an adult-adult, but he's not a 10-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think you would do if your 21-year-old pulled this prank? Matter of fact, let's play the prank one more time and then Devin's answer.
Okay.
Let's listen to this. I mean, I'll say jackass. Let's listen to the jackass call Shedeur Sanders.
Hey, is this Shedeur? This is Mickey Loomis here, the GM of the New Orleans Saints. How you doing? This is Mickey Loomis here, GM of the Saints.
How you doing?
Good, how are you, man?
Good,
yeah, we have. It's been a long wait, man. We're going to take you with our next pick right here, man.
This ain't going to be nothing to do.
Hey, but you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, man. Sorry about that.
What would you do, Devin?
I don't even know. I can't comprehend the anger I would feel, and almost like insult, because if that's your kid, like say you're his dad who works for the Falcons, like he put his dad's job in jeopardy.
He really did.
And like really took away probably some credibility, regardless of what happens. You know, NFL and the Falcons have said they're not punishing his dad, but it's going to be a smear on his reputation now forever. So
I agree.
I don't know. I feel like honestly, the first thing as a parent, I would kind of look at myself and be like, how did I raise someone who thinks that that's okay to do? Can you ground a 21-year-old? I don't even know if that's possible. I don't even know if he lives at home, so I have no clue.
John, what would your dad have done?
I don't think it's appropriate. I like in today's world.
You cannot say
I don't
air.
Even think I can say. It is a different world. The way that I was raised, it would have been harsh.
Harsh. Harsh is a good word.
Very harsh.
Yeah, very harsh is two good words. I mean, I've thought a lot about it. I don't know, because, Devin, you do bring up a point. A 21-year-old, like, if the kid's not living at home, and I don't know if he does or doesn't, I have no idea. Well, I guess he's a college kid, and then maybe comes home in the breaks, but, like,
maybe cut off his money?
Maybe just put,
sure they're supporting him
maybe
somehow.
Just put him in the basement and take the key away and lock him away and just
the
give
challenge
him,
is
give, him a, give him a dog bowl of water and
oh
then say this is going to be your summer next summer.
The challenge is when you don't you need to have something that you can take away that you know is really going to hurt.
Take away his phone, then he can't prank call people.
Absolutely,
anymore.
That works. But then he's got a computer. He's
I
got
know, that's, yeah.
An iPad. Also, you know, he's got...
Probably has an Apple Watch.
Yeah. It really is difficult to figure out what is going to hit him and where it hurts the most because you've got duplicates of everything now.
Like, I don't know the answer, guys. I've never been a parent. I just know that, for me, I would be remarkably harsh toward this kid. I don't know what that entails, but
that's
something.
Right.
You can't
I don't
do
know
this.
That you can be harsh enough.
Can't do it. It's unacceptable. I mean, to say the least. All right, time's yours and more calls on all these topics on what obviously has been a really busy Monday coming off a wild weekend of sports, primarily about the draft, but a little bit on the Phils as well, 94 WIP.
FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is the first sportsbook app where you can bet the Kentucky Derby. And right now, all customers can get a no-sweat Derby bet. That means you'll get racing bonus back if your bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/JohnR, J-O-N-R, to get started. The app is super easy to use, and you don't have to be a horse racing expert to get in on the Derby Day action. I'm definitely not a horse racing expert, but bet America's number one race with America's...
John, I had a friend in high school who would specialize in the... This part right here, whistling it during a class to try to irritate the teacher. He's very good at it. Ah, the good old days.
Yeah, that's annoying, whistling during class. Man, you want to talk about distraction. Hey, Franny, how did you get that purple windscreen?
Scalish.
Wow.
You have a
Disaster.
Purple windscreen?
Look at that.
Wait, you've been in the studio next. What are you talking about?
I'm not in a in
that
the room
is
with you.
Just
it does I stand mean, out.
You should get one,
that
John.
Is a gorgeous windscreen. I
yeah,
love it.
Get
well,
it.
Well, I went to Westchester, so you know. Purple. So that's
yeah,
why.
Okay. I hey. Love purple's a gorgeous color. I love that.
Get on
I
it,
think
John.
We have green ones.
I didn't know
we
that
have
was
green
available.
WIP screens.
Yeah, that'd be yeah. great too. I mean, just
Ava's got a bunch in the inner drawer.
This
we do need to spice this place up.
Yeah.
With our show on YouTube, we do need
we do.
Pizzazz.
Seriously,
I think
though, Fran,
Ike's is a colored
Is this a
screen.
New thing that they're doing the colored wind screen? Because
well,
I've never seen that.
I think Ike has a blue one.
Yeah.
I saw that and
yeah,
I was like,
yeah,
let me go see if I can get one.
Yeah.
I'm
hey, what are you guys doing? You're
I'm
on the
going online. Yeah, I'm going to order some
I don't know
wind
any of this.
Screens for myself.
All right. All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. Try to put a bow on the Eagles draft, but let's be real. We'll be talking about it for years to come. But early grade, not grade, but evaluation by our audience. Twitter poll brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin Chevy is your Corvette headquarters. Have you dreamt about owning a Corvette? Well, now's the time. Visit ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Poll question, John. Do you like what Howie did in rounds 2 through 7? Yes or no? How do you think people voted?
80% say yes.
84% say they do indeed approve what Howie's done. You know who approves? Not just 2 through 7, but the whole draft. Let's listen to Pro Football Focus. One of their guys talking and high marks for the Eagles.
Let's take a look at what teams earned an A in the 2025 NFL Draft. The Ravens earned an A for their haul that included Malachi Starks and Mike Green. Another team that earned an A was the Kansas City Chiefs. They nailed their draft with selections like Josh Simmons and Omar Norman Lott. The Patriots earned an A after they had a stacked draft with players like Will Campbell, Travion Henderson, and Kyle Williams. Another A goes to the Eagles. They crushed their draft, especially by picking up Jahad Campbell and Andrew McCuba.
You ready? I got the A from PFF.
We crushed our draft.
Although I was thinking, John, that first starting point, the Ravens.
Mm.
Malachi Starks and
who else did they get?
And Mike Green.
Yeah.
To the guy Ray loves.
A lot of people are upset over Malachi Starks, but I feel like he kind of started to lose favor in Philadelphia, at least towards the closer we got to the draft. I feel like I started hearing more. Well, you know, he's not as good as the tape shows.
Here's my opinion of Malachi Starks. What do you need him for when you got a Makuba? You're right. All set. Makuba.
I like Makuba. It's not like I've watched hours of tape on him,
no.
But from what I've seen since he was drafted, I think that he's going to be good.
He looks like a player. We'll see how it translates. I really did think 5 years ago, John, when they got Davion Taylor, I was like, look at this guy. He's an animal.
He was.
Then the guy made like
so
two tackles
explosive.
In his whole career.
He looked different
he
than
did.
All the other linebackers because he was quicker. He was just more side to side, just looked zoomier. Mm. And
he did nothing with
but
the Eagles.
He was, yeah,
nothing.
Part of the problem was he was so much smaller than he needed to be. Maybe he just couldn't hold up against the run because he never got to where they trusted him in games on downs that were base.
That was the him, and there was the other guy in that draft. Kayvon, am I remembering this right? It
was Kayvon Wallace?
Wallace. Both of them stunk.
What happened to him?
He just disappeared.
There are always those guys. You know who I hope works out? I'm weirdly excited about Ty Robinson from Nebraska.
Why?
Because he has a personality, and like the more clips I see of him, you know, on the field, like I think he's going to fit really well in Philadelphia. He also has a pet camel. Who like that? He just seems like an interesting guy. He knows Cam Jurgens.
He has a pet camel, and
he's
real
really
life.
Smart. I think he's a pre-med at Nebraska.
He's from
he was.
A farm.
Yeah, I think he's from the Midwest somewhere.
And he's wow,
and
incredible.
He's really fast and athletic, and he's gigantic.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I hope he works
all
out
because
he seems like a cool guy.
All right, let's get to the phones. Let's go to Neil in Northeast Philadelphia. Good morning, Neil.
Yeah. Good morning, morning team. Joe, John, and Devin.
What's up,
and
man?
And John, I think you've definitely put that Stanford education to use, you know, the 5 years you had, because you're very smart.
Thanks, Neil.
About the Eagles draft, John, would you give it an A?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. And Howie, we trust. I think even though, you know, I think with maybe 10 picks maybe being a lot, you know, I believe, you know, still the special teams could use more work, you know, so you got more special teams player, and Howie does a great job, you know, with his draft, you know, with his 10 picks. So I think they'll make use of it. And I think Fangio has a big influence. I mean, drafting a linebacker the first time since the 70s.
Well, not
you know,
no, but not necessarily if they play him outside, Neil. I mean, I know Elliott and Shiel Kapadia both think that Campbell's going to be more of an edge rusher than an inside linebacker, that you're referencing, you know, Jerry Robinson back in 79, the last time they drafted someone that's more classic linebacker type. So
the later round, Joe, you know, like with the linebacker too, that he's more of a natural linebacker, you know. So,
well, that's what Trout Jr. was last year. He was a fifth round pick, and he went inside.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh,
and listen,
with the
Phillies,
I got to
– Go ahead.
Okay, with the Phillies, I got to say Nola came back strong. So that's what we wanted to see.
Yep.
Now call Ranger up. You know, I think they have to make a move for a reliever. And now that they're back home, start getting the bats in gear. Like 10 runs was an encouraging sign. Now they're back at Citizens Bank Park against the Nationals and the Arizona. So you got to get it like in gear and score, you know, average like 6 runs a game.
A game would be nice. Neil, give me
super.
An answer. What was unbelievable?
Yeah, I think the Bronco following O.J. Simpson, you know, like on national TV.
That was unbelievable. That was beyond unbelievable, to say the least. The O.J. chase. You got it, buddy. Let's get to Paul in Downingtown right now. Paul, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Paul.
So I stuck with the draft this weekend. I'm real happy with Howie, but that stuff that went on with Shador, not only his slide and the prank phone call, but I was wondering, Richie, do you think that there was anything behind the Shador slipping that suggested the NFL was sending a message here? I mean, or is it simply related to the fact that his board work was bad and that his pre-draft interviews were bad? Or do you think, you know, the NFL was kind of sending a collective message like, hey, you don't run the show here. This is bigger than you. You're going to sit down until Saturday. Like, you think there was any kind of, like, you know, not direct collusion, but just kind of like, you know what? This kid thinks he's bigger than he is. And despite whatever talent we see, you know, we're going to send him a message, you know, because he came off real poorly in interviews. And from everything I've read, he kind of came off like a guy who thought he was bigger than the NFL.
Well, the way that Mel Kiper reacted to the whole fiasco, it seemed like it was a big deal to him. He made a much bigger deal of it than I expected. He was so far off base, I wondered if it got a little personal for him, you know, being so wrong. I wonder if that's part of why
I thought Mel
so
dug
upset.
In because of that. So, Paul, here's my answer to your question, because it's an interesting question, and I've thought a lot about it. I tend to think the answer is no. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say I'm wrong, and maybe I am, but here's why I tend to think the answer is no, that it wasn't this pushback on, like, Deion Sanders. Here's what I think basically happened. When someone has an attitude like people are saying Shador Sanders has presented in these private settings,
that the Steelers need to reset their culture for
right.
his sake.
For, yeah, their culture. Do you want that guy to be your backup quarterback?
I wouldn't.
Correct. See, that's to me, that's the heart of the matter. If
and
you if
when
you judge
put it
him
like that, it makes sense.
Yeah, that's
it
what
really does.
That's why I think he went late. Because if you're drafting the guy to be the starter, you say, "Well, I'm not digging some of what he's presenting personally to the table, but this guy's going to be our starting quarterback. Let's roll." I mean, there's a lot of guys that are odd characters, whatever, but you roll with it because the talent is this guy's my starter. But if they determine him not to be the starter, then you can see a guy tumbling because I don't want that guy to be my backup. Would I want that guy telling Jalen Hurts how to be a pro? No. Right? That's absurd.
Yeah.
That's why I think he went in the fifth round.
Yeah, and he does seem to be exhibiting like a lot of his father's worst qualities without demonstrating the better. I mean, as much as we're going to say or could say bad about Deion, he's also the same guy that played two professional sports in the same day. You know, I mean, that is being there for your teammates. And, you know, I mean, he just doesn't seem – I don't know. It seems like he lacks a little bit of that. It's kind of like – I don't know that he needs to be – I don't know that this he's just been pampered and catered to his whole life.
Well, that's the thing.
It kind of seems like
that. I don't think he – plays like a pampered player. This guy is tough. This guy goes out there and sacrifices for his teammates, and they love him for it.
Okay, yeah. It's kind of hard for me to figure how a guy that you know isn't a cancer in the locker room and has that kind of tape falls, you know, all the way to the third day of the draft, the fifth round.
It's bravado, and you know the sad.
But
part,
it's also entitlement.
Well, the sad part is that it crossed the line. Yeah. You know, this was Deion and Shador thinking that this is confidence. This is all the teams coming off and thinking it comes off like he thinks he's better than the other players. He thinks he's on a different, you know, just he should be treated differently. And that is part of the problem. You know, like when you show up to an All-Star game and you refuse to take part, that's part of that All-Star game. That's part of why you were invited. The evaluation process takes place during practices. And you're going to not participate.
Yeah, I would
you
put
really
the whole,
are putting yourself on a different rung.
I put the whole thing under the word entitlement. I think people thought he was entitled.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Paul, I need an answer from you. What was unbelievable?
Well, this is one of the worst sports things I ever lived through. It's unbelievable to me that a city was four professional sports teams in the major, you know, in the major leagues, went without a championship from May 1983 until October of 2008. That was unbelievable.
You're so right, man. It was 100 seasons worth of seasons. Is that a way to put it? 100 seasons worth of seasons?
Mm-hmm.
It was the four teams times 25, I mean. It's 100. It's crazy. All right. Let's do what we do every day at this time. I'll tell you what I think is unbelievable. The fact that you guys heard that thing as John Ritchie earlier when I heard it as John Mickey.
Yeah,
that
I don't know how you
so
heard
clearly
John Mickey.
Ritchie.
It was very,
yeah,
very much John Ritchie.
Yeah, he flat out said John Ritchie plain as day.
Well, you know what's unbelievable? Then when I said the John Mickey thing, the guy like apologized for calling you John Mickey. Then why did he...
It was a confusing phone call. Because
really
didn't he say something kind of weird? Like, what did he say about you? Why did he bring up your name?
He was saying that I was his favorite player.
Oh, I guess
like
that,
he thought
that's
I was
weird.
The most skilled player that he'd ever watched, which makes us realize, hey, you know,
so
he's
naturally
not watching
Joe's
the
like,
same
that
game
could
I'm
never
watching.
Be John Ritchie.
Hey, John had skill. I remember watching John play. He was a damn good fullback. All right, Time's Yours is brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with Time's Yours.
For as good as JT is behind the plate, he really does have one of the worst eyes as a batter I think I've seen in the last 10, 15 years as a Philadelphia Philly. I mean, some of the pitches that this man takes and then some of the pitches this guy swings at blows my mind. Time's Yours.
I don't agree with that.
I think he's got a good eye.
Yeah, I don't agree with that call really at all.
Man, you guys are starting to sound like Sixers fans, acting like these late in the draft picks are worth all kinds of value to other teams. We have a bunch of fifth, sixth, seventh round picks. They're really not worth all that much.
Well, look, we'll see. I mean, you get a Kelsey in the sixth round every, 20 years?
if you're lucky.
I mean, you got Wilbur Montgomery back in the late 70s in the sixth round. You got Jason Kelce in 2011. Trent Cole was a fifth rounder. Brent Celek was a fifth rounder. Sometimes you strike gold, most times you don't.
Aaron Nola silences the best offense in baseball, and Joe DeCamera would rather talk about seventh-round draft picks instead. Why am I not surprised?
Why are you not surprised? Because we get the NFL draft once a year. We get a Phillies game almost every day. I mean, we're going to do a lot on the Phils. Hey, don't you worry, buddy. We're going to do a lot on the Phils. And Nola did pitch really well over the weekend. And with that, time's yours. We shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
All right, in honor of the Shedeur Sanders situation, which was unbelievable on many fronts over the weekend, we're looking for what was unbelievable. Best answer whoever provides it, we're turning to right now. Whoever gives us the best answer, you're going to win Elvis Costello tickets. Let's move fast. Eric in Middletown. Eric, what was unbelievable?
It's unbelievable to me that on June 12, 1970, a Doc Ellis of Pittsburgh Pirates was a no-hitter against the Padres but under the influence of LSD.
And the fact that he admitted it. Yeah, Eric.
I haven't heard that one. That's pretty unbelievable.
That is unbelievable. Warren in Gwinnett Valley. Warren, what's unbelievable?
I'm going to piggyback on that one, that Keith Richards is still alive after all his
drugs. That's a good answer, too. All right, let's go to Rose Allen. Rose Allen, we're moving fast. What's unbelievable?
The Philly special.
You know, it was pretty, yes, it was stunning.
It
was. There was
at
no
the time, yeah.
There was no question. All right, we got to come up with a winning answer here for what was unbelievable. So a lot of good answers.
The Tonya Harding thing was pretty.
That one was big. I got two circled.
Stunning.
I got the Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan thing, and I got Ben Simmons
just wouldn't shoot. Yeah.
And here's why, for instance, it's not the Cuban Missile Crisis. It was very believable. We had two superpowers. We were one of them. Both had nukes. At some point, you're going to have, you know, a situation that would rise. You know, like, Cuban Missile Crisis was very believable. Unbelievable as a player as skilled as Ben Simmons in other ways who just wouldn't shoot.
Well, the fact that he wouldn't shoot, and then everything else that unfolded after that, where, you know, he didn't want to play and he just like sat out and then it was all insane.
All right, Fran.
He's still playing.
And
guys.
The fact that he's still playing now.
He's not going to be playing much longer. Fran, you were like -2 years old when Nancy Kerrigan and Tonya Harding happened.
Yeah, I don't really know much about it. I was going to go O.J. Chase, but...
Yeah, O.J. Chase is big, too. All right, you don't get a vote then, Frank, because you're too young for Nancy Kerrigan.
Oh, no. Disqualified. No,
that's not cool.
Yeah, he says, I don't know.
That's rude, man.
How old do you think Fran is?
DQ for youth.
Fran's probably, 28?
30, yeah.
Everybody.
I thought it was crazy that he was 30.
All right, we got to quickly... I would dwell more on that.
I thought he was 23.
We got to move fast. John, you make the call. Ben Simmons or Kerrigan Harden?
Jeez. I mean... My vote was Kerrigan Harding, but Ben Simmons is absolutely ridiculous. I'm good with either one. I think Ben Simmons, I despise him. I don't want him to win anything, so maybe we need
to go
Tonya
Harding. You go Kerrigan Harding. I go Ben Simmons. Devin, break the tie. All right, Ben. George, you've won the tickets to see Elvis Costello. Have a great rest of the day, everyone. Phil's off today. Back at it tomorrow. We'll be talking more about all these things tomorrow, the draft, the Phil's, the whole deal. Joe and Hugh, they're up next.